Laudato Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Sunday, December the 1st, the World Health Organization marks World AIDS Day. A human rights lawyer speaks about the situation of war crimes and potential for peace in the Middle East. And Pope Francis appeals for peace once again following a ceasefire agreement between Hezbollah and Israel. In the Vatican, I'm Kelsey Gussie.
E mia speranza che lo spiraglio di pace che si è aperto possa portare al cessate il fuoco su tutti gli antefronti.
I hope that the glimmer of peace that has emerged can lead to a ceasefire on all fronts, Pope Francis stated after praying the Angelus on December 1st, referring to the ceasefire agreement signed between Hezbollah in Lebanon and Israel to end 13 months of fighting. However, both parties have accused the other of breaching the ceasefire agreement. The Pope also challenged the Lebanese people to elect a president as soon as possible. Pope Francis reiterated his concern for other areas of the world in conflict, including Gaza, Syria, and Ukraine. He shared his concern for the release of Israeli hostages and petitioned once again that humanitarian aid be able to reach the Palestinian population.
Pensiamo che l'inverno è alle porte e rischia di esacerbare le condizioni di milioni di sfollati. Saranno mesi difficilissimi per loro. La concomitanza di guerra e freddo è tragica.
Speaking of the approaching winter season, the Pope remembered martyred Ukraine. He called the combination of war and cold temperatures tragic and underscored that for the millions of displaced people, winter will be difficult. He renewed his challenge to the international community and to every man and woman of goodwill to do everything possible to stop this war and to promote dialogue, fraternity, and reconciliation. The pursuit of peace is not the responsibility of a few, but of all, he stated. Because if desensitization and indifference to the horrors of war prevail, all of humanity is defeated. The Pope also commemorated the 40th anniversary of the Treaty of Peace and Friendship between Argentina and Chile, which was signed in 1984. With Pope John Paul II, the Holy See's mediation led to a de-escalation of a territorial dispute between the two countries. Pope Francis used this as an example that when we renounce the use of arms and engage in dialogue, we are on the right path. On the first Sunday in Advent, Pope Francis led the crowds in St. Peter's Square in his weekly Angelus Catechesis. The reflection came from Sunday's Gospel reading, calling us to turn our gaze to heaven and open our hearts to the Lord who sustains us on our journey. Thaddeus Jones has this report.
Pope Francis led the customary Angelus prayer on this first Sunday of Advent and reflected on the Gospel reading in which Jesus speaks to us about cosmic upheavals and the anxieties and fears humanity faces. The reading recounts how the Lord's words of hope and encouragement, and when speaking of the coming of the Son of Man, he tells his disciples to stand up and raise their heads to heaven as their redemption is at hand.
L'invito di Gesù è questo. Alzare il capo.
The Pope explained how the Lord's concern is that the disciples' hearts do not grow drowsy with earthly concerns and that they await the coming of the Son of Man with vigilance. Persecutions, wars, and natural disasters made up catastrophic events of many of Jesus' contemporaries, the Pope pointed out, and anxieties for the future and the end of the world abounded. The Lord knows their hearts are burdened with fear, the Pope observed, and the Lord helps the disciples to be free of worldly anxieties and false convictions of security by showing them how to be vigilant with their minds and hearts, remembering God's plan for salvation even amidst the most dramatic events of history.
E per questo suggerisce loro di volgere lo sguardo verso il cielo.
The Pope explained that by turning our gaze to heaven, we can better put into context the challenges in our own lives as we journey to the Lord. The Pope said Jesus' call to vigilance and awareness extends to all of us as well. He suggested we reflect on our own lives and outlooks, whether we're letting ourselves be discouraged or crushed by the anxieties and worries of our lives and world situations, or if we have the faith and courage to lift our heads up to see the Lord, who is our help and salvation. In conclusion, he prayed that this Advent season may be a precious opportunity to lift our gaze to the Lord, who lightens our hearts and sustains us on our way. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
This year, the theme for World AIDS Day, marked annually on December 1st, is Take the Rights Path. Chosen by the United Nations, it emphasizes the importance of upholding human rights to combat the HIV/AIDS epidemic effectively. As Dr. Anjali Akrekar, Assistant Secretary General and Deputy Executive Director of UNAIDS, told UN News, a just-released report shines the light on the global situation and on how stigma, discrimination, and punitive laws are still hindering progress in global efforts to stamp out HIV and AIDS.
Where we are in the HIV pandemic is really at a crossroads. We, on the one hand, as a globe, we have made tremendous progress in the HIV response. Now there are over 30 million people that are living with HIV and AIDS that are on life-saving treatment. This is extraordinary. Just 10 years ago, we were at 13 million people. We have seen AIDS deaths plummet by nearly 70% since their peak. This is incredible, incredible progress. However, I mentioned we're at a crossroads. We're at a crossroads because while we're seeing this great progress, progress is not success. We are still seeing 1.3 million new infections every year. This is a really big problem, particularly in different regions of the world, as well as with populations like adolescent girls and young women, key populations, LGBTQI plus populations, children. And we're also seeing that there are still 9.3 million people living with HIV and AIDS that still have yet to be put on life-saving treatment. So we're at a crossroads, a lot of progress, but the job is not yet done. We're placing a focus on human rights and really making sure that human rights barriers are addressed, stigma and discrimination are addressed, gender inequality is addressed. These are the very societal barriers, structural barriers, human rights barriers that block HIV prevention and treatment services. And without addressing these human rights issues, we will not be able to address those gaps that I mentioned earlier.
That was Dr. Anjali Akrekar, Assistant Secretary General and Deputy Executive Director of UNAIDS, speaking to UN News. The socio-political and economic crises Haiti has been facing for decades resulted in extreme poverty for the people and a power vacuum that has led to the establishment of criminal street gangs that terrorize the population and who fight amongst themselves for control of larger parts of the capital and beyond. As Gabby Brenton, Humanitarian and Partnership Director of Save the Children Haiti, explains to Vatican Radio, children are amongst the most vulnerable, and the poverty creates the perfect conditions for gang recruitment. She says the endless cycle of violence means that child recruitment into armed gangs has soared by 70% in the past year.
You know, when this economic situation is not there, no opportunities, and then the gang did expand their territories and it became at the level of they almost control 85% of the capital. So it's a cycle of violence. And this situation make the schools difficult to operate. If kids cannot go to school, it's also creating again another condition for gangs to recruit them because they are struggling with the economic situation among the families. Then the schools are paralyzed due to violence. As you know, it's more than 700 internally displaced persons from Port-au-Prince that has to escape violence. So kids are in the middle of that. So either they are following the families that have to escape violence, and they are often going in the school sites to search for safety. So when they arrive at the school sites, the kids that were attending class cannot attend because now it's full of people that are stressed by the violence. It's hundreds and hundreds of thousands of kids that cannot attend school. School were often also providing a snack. So this is also part of a kind of a protection system that is collapsing. If kids cannot go to school, parents as issue to go back to their economic activities. So it's becoming like a real cycle of violence and so much issue in terms of finding food and money for being able to live in a dignity. So kids that has often no voice are among the most vulnerable. So they are the victim, the most affected and the most impacted. And with this, we impacted the future too, because they are the future. So the situation is terrible. We're talking about more than 150 gangs are controlling, trying to expand their territories. Now they have a movement to create an alliance to expand to more territories. So we are also concerned for the rural area.
That was Gabby Brenton, Humanitarian Director of Save the Children Haiti, speaking to Vatican Radio on the situation of street gangs in Haiti. In other news, the tragic death toll from the ongoing war in Gaza has exceeded 44,000. 70% of the victims are children and women. Australian human rights lawyer Chris Sidotti says the number of children killed is the greatest number of any conflict in this century. In addition to the many children wounded and affected by deaths of parents and family members, loss of limbs, traumatizing experiences, and multiple displacements from their homes, all affecting a larger number of children than any modern warfare. Sidotti is an international human rights attorney and a commissioner with the United Nations Independent International Commission of Inquiry on the Occupied Palestinian Territory, including East Jerusalem and Israel. He spoke to Vatican Radio about the findings in his work investigating the violence since the October 7, 2023 attack on Israel and subsequent war in Gaza, all as part of efforts to identify those guilty of war crimes, so that eventually justice and peace may be possible for Palestinians and Israelis.
So in both cases, both in southern Israel on 7-8 October and in Gaza subsequently, we found and reasonably concluded on the basis of our investigations that there were the most serious crimes under international law in relation to war crimes and crimes against humanity committed. In our most recent assembly, last month, October 2024, we looked at three issues. We looked first at the Israeli attacks on the healthcare system in Gaza and came to the conclusion that the Israeli military forces had embarked upon a program of concerted, intentional destruction of the healthcare system in Gaza as a whole. And we made that conclusion on the basis of the evidence we gathered, the attacks, the comprehensive attacks on hospitals, health clinics and centres, other healthcare facilities, personnel working in hospitals and healthcare, and ambulances. The conclusion we formed was that these attacks were concerted and intentional, and that they were designed to destroy the healthcare system in Gaza. The second issue we looked at was the treatment of Israeli hostages in Gaza. And again, we found that this constituted a war crime, that the Palestinian armed groups holding the hostages were inflicting, in some cases, torture, other forms of mistreatment, and in some cases, sexual violence.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. Many thanks go to Gabriele Di Domenico in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Kelsey Gussie.